Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day of March 2024. And tonight we have, boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. So we're going to get right to it. Now, here last week there was some question about which John should be introduced first, because this is another two-John night. And so, you know, we have John, our producer, tonight, and then we have John, our guest host, our co-host. And so there's a number of ways I guess I could do this. But I think I've chosen to say young John and old John. And so last week we went with young John first, so this week we're going to go with old John. And I would like to introduce you to that man of reputation, that man of esteem, none other than Big John McTurnan.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie. I didn't realize that stunned you by me questioning, that I should be called the senior there, and you apparently thought about that all week.
Yeah, it weighed heavy on me, but that's okay because we have our producer tonight, and we have him in the glass cage, but he does a good job. Is we have young John. Hey, John.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, young John, happy to be here.
All right, it's good to have you here. All right, there you go. But listen, you live a good life, young John, and someday you'll be an old John, too.
Hopefully.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, old John, we need to get started in a scripture tonight, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 27. Are you ready for this?
Just hang on, I'll be there.
As we go through here, we'll do a little bit of a commentary, as we always do. And so, when you find it, have you found it yet?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned I'm here.
All right, well then, just read verses 1 and 2 and pause.
Okay. Matthew 27:1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor.
Okay, so what happened during the night? First of all, we're were nighttime trials lawful, even in that day?
I you know, the Romans were in power like that, so I don't think it made a difference, but probably was unusual. I don't know about being unlawful.
Right, it was not usual. They didn't hold these at night. And so now here, first of all, they brought him before Annas, and he was the former high priest. The Romans, in fact, he was Caiaphas's father-in-law, but the Romans removed him and replaced him with Caiaphas. And so then they took him to Pilate. Now, have you heard of the Pilate Stone?
No.
Well, that was found in the remains of the amphitheater there in Caesarea.
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Yes, that was a very big, I stood on it. Yeah,
you did? The
first time I went to Israel. And I had pictures of it, and I have no idea where they are. But it's a big column, that's the word, about the size of a telephone pole. And in Latin, I guess it was, you could see Pontius Pilate, curator, on that stone. It's a big, though. It's not some little stone. It's huge.
It referred to him as Pilate the Perfect, didn't it?
That I don't remember. But I remember you could see engraved on it Pontius Pilate. And it wasn't spelled like we would spell it, but you could see Pontius Pilate.
All righty. Would you now read from verses 3 through 10?
Okay. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field was called the field of blood unto this day. And when it was fulfilled, that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.
Well, you know, now, in the book of Jeremiah, in fact, in Jeremiah 32, verses 6 to 9, it refers to mentioning buying a field for silver. Actually, what we just read was in Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Do you think that Zechariah was quoting Jeremiah?
Zechariah was well after Jeremiah.
Yeah, I know.
And Zechariah was a prophet, and he would probably have knowledge of the writings of the prophets, so it's very possible.
I'll bet that was the case, okay? And so here now, as we go on, but let's go back to verses 3 and 4, because then Judas, which was betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Okay, so now what brings all of this to Judas? Why has Judas had a change of heart and change of mind right now? I mean, his plan didn't work out well, did it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, what did he think was going to happen to Jesus when he must have known that they wanted to kill him.
Yeah, that's true. But listen, he knew what Jesus could do. He knew what Jesus could do. He saw that even the elements obeyed the Lord Jesus. And how they would see when Jesus commanded the sea to be still, the sea was still. Okay. He understood that. So he felt that he would do what that Jesus would react the way he would react. Like, look, I got to tell you, knowing what the crucifixion was like, I tell you, if I had the power of Jesus, I don't think I would. I know I wouldn't, because you and I, we're not perfect people. We're not. We don't have the strength of Christ. We would not let the Romans do that to us. We would have called 12 legions of angels and said, turn this place into a parking lot, right? And so that's what Judas was figuring Jesus would do. He would overthrow the corrupt Roman government, and being the one to put him in that position, Judas expected maybe a high seat in the new government. And so that's what was on his mind, but it didn't work that way. When he saw what they did to Jesus, and that Jesus was going to go to the cross, then he realized, wow, what did I do? What did I do? I betrayed the Son of God, huh?
It is interesting, Pastor Marie. It said Satan entered into him.
Yeah. And so here now, and he says, and then he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and he hanged himself. And the chief priests and took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. Did they not condemn themselves with that statement?
Yes, because, they did.
So
that's exactly what I thought from looking at it. Look at verse 4, saying, I have sinned and that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Hey, that's your problem.
Well, wait a minute. He betrayed him to who? Christ was innocent, he betrayed him to the Pharisees, meaning they were guilty.
Yes. Yeah, they're the ones who took him to the Romans.
Yep.
The Romans hadn't made, as far as the scripture reports, the Romans hadn't moved against the Lord at all.
Not at this point, no.
Right, not at this point.
And they took counsel.
He didn't seem to be a threat to them.
And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. The field was called the field of blood. And then that was, the field was spoken of by Jeremiah. Well, they say Jeremiah the prophet, saying that they took the 30 pieces of silver. Now, the 30 pieces of silver was what was that a price of? It? Because that was the price of what?
Pastor Ernie, I can't think of it now, but there is a price for that, yes.
Yeah, that was the price of a slave that was gored by an ox. If you had a slave, and it was 30 pieces of silver, okay?
So it wasn't worth much then. It would be worth a lot more if the slave wasn't injured.
Right. And he gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me.
Pastor Ernie, that's very interesting. Because the Lord was gored on the cross.
Yeah, he was. In the side there. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Okay, so when he says, thou sayest, what did he mean?
He's agreeing, are you the king of the Jews? And thou sayest, so he's agreeing with him that he is the king of the Jews.
Okay. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou how many of these things they witness against thee? And he answered him, to never a word, insomuch as the governor marveled greatly. Now, why did that kind of fulfilled another prophecy here. We're seeing Jesus fulfilling prophecy after prophecy as we go through here.
That fulfills like Isaiah 53.
Uh-huh. Where?
I think it's verse 6, Isaiah 53:6, which is he was like a sheep before a shearer, like dumb. They just stand there.
And so here now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. That was a custom there. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. What do we know about Barabbas?
Well, it goes on to say that he was a hard criminal. He wasn't a revolutionary or anything. He was a criminal. I think he was a murderer.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just occurred to me that verse you quote was Isaiah, was verse 7. Isaiah 53:7. But anyhow, yeah, he was a murderer. He was a murderer. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, "Whom will I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day there in a dream because of him." Now Pilate was given a choice here, wasn't he?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and there's something interesting about Pilate in this, because Pilate had crucified many, 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 or had them crucified many, many, many before the Lord.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, here, look, Pilate has a choice. Now, how did they know in those days, did they believe that God spoke to people? It was in dreams, didn't they?
Dreams and visions.
Yeah, and so and now here, when Pilate's wife comes to him and says, "Look, I'm telling you, have nothing to do with an innocent man." Now, Pilate had a choice. He knew that the Lord Jesus was innocent by his own words, right? He could find no fault. So he had a choice of either obeying God or succumbing to. He wanted to keep peace among. He didn't want the Jews to riot. If they rioted, then that could cause him a problem with Caesar, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm saying, Pastor Ernie, though, is Pilate, is it in Luke, records Pilate had killed many, I think, by crucifixion. Remember, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
It made reference to that. And I think in Roman history, the Roman history makes notes of Pilate, just wanton crucifying huge numbers of people. So it's nothing for him. This means that I think he was aware of what Jesus was doing. Because remember, he on the cross above it, he said, "King of the Jews."
Yeah.
He had faith on it. So I think Pilate knew. He had heard of the miracles Jesus had done and all the things that he had done. He probably heard about it, knew here that the Jews were like envious of him and they wanted to destroy him. So you're right. He went along with them. But normally, why would Pilate be at night like this? Why would he even care? I mean, if the chief priest wanted someone dead, he had crucified so many. Why not just another one? So this here was brought to his. There's something unusual about Jesus being in front of him and Pilate being like torn about whether he's going to have him crucified or not.
Well, what went then was because, you know, obviously with Jesus, it caused a huge, huge uproar. You had thousands of Jews out there. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Sanhedrin had stirred up all the people. They stirred them up to come out. They wanted to, remember, they kind of tried to intimidate Pilate. And in other words, they wanted to make sure that Pilate knew that, if they went to Caesar and they said, "Look, Caesar, this guy Jesus says he's the king, and we have no king but you, Caesar." Okay, remember, these Jews were as corrupt as our politicians are today. They were as corrupt as the Biden administration.
Well, they were, and, Pastor Ernie, because that tactic is still used today. I mean, Hamas is out there playing innocent, and that they're the victims, and they're kind of rioting, and they're in college campuses and cities, and they're going into political. So that's what was happening here. Exactly what's happening today is happening back in the Lord's Day with this mob with Pilate.
Well, tonight, you know, we had, before I came here, we had a tactical civics meeting. You know, and tactical civics is about restoring the Constitution, bringing back, and they're working to have the militia according to the Second Amendment, the standing the militia according to the Second Amendment, and also the grand jury according to the Constitution, where the grand jury, you know, is put together and upheld by citizens, not by prosecutors, not by prosecuting attorneys, which is they've corrupted this. So we were discussing this, and here in that conversation tonight, we talked about Israel and how that the Bible says in the last days, all the nations will turn against Israel, all the nations. And now we were talking about just yesterday, last night's program, we're seeing that England now and Canada and France, all of these nations are following the lead of the United States. You see that Biden, remember on October 6th when that thing first happened, we told you when Biden came out saying we will stand with our allies. And I told you, no, on that very day I said he will soon betray Israel. Well, that's what they're doing. I mean, up over at the top of the table, it looks like they're giving aid to Israel, but underneath they're actually supplying Hamas, the enemies. And so, but even at this meeting, there was some anti-Semitism come up where some people tried to make a difference between, between Ephraim and Judah, between the 10 tribes and the two tribes, that only the two tribes of Judah are actually Jews, the 10 tribes aren't. And that's absolute lunacy. That's, again, not biblical at all, but that's what's been being espoused out there today.
Yeah, and let me just respond to that with a Bible verse.
Sure.
James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
I know.
They knew who the tribes were. Paul says he was of Benjamin.
Yep.
And then one other thing real quickly, they attack the use of the word Jews, referring to the children of Israel today as Jews. And it's somehow it's a bad, evil word. But look at Revelation 5:5. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain. Excuse me, it's verse 5. I read verse 6. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So in heaven identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here they're trying to attack the use of the word Jews, that is somehow evil.
Yeah, I know. About a week ago, you had some apostates out there saying that actually, not, you know, that Jesus was really not a Jew. He was actually a Palestinian. And that was going on just a week ago. But this, you expect all of this as we get closer to the Lord's return. But you know what? We're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days? When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. To some of us that haven't put up with it, we've been standing up against it for a long time. Now listen, it's time for you folks to get a pen and paper, because I got some announcements to make. Some very, very important announcement tonight. And so go get yourself a pen and paper. And while you're doing that, I want to let you know that Miss Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs is having, between now and then, a sale on her all-natural medicines, her all-natural, the apothecary, what God has given us, the natural herbs, the medicines that God has given us from the apothecary, not from the pharmacia, okay? And so she's having a 25% off of the normal price, the regular price, on orders of $65 and above. Now, here, think about this, 25, that's $16 off. A $65 order. So that $65 order would be, to figure it out, John, 16 from 65 is what?
16 from 65 would be 49.
Right? That's right. Okay, so be, you save a lot of money. You save a lot of money, don't you? That's a lot of money to save. Anyhow, here's what you do. You can call Apothecary Herbs at 866 229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, you know, I'm giving her these spots and helping her because, one, she gets her products are very, very good products. She tries to help people. And she really goes out of her way. I've seen her spend so much time helping people. But she didn't have to do that, but she does. She really does. And so she's a real fine lady, Wendy. She really is. Now, I got to get into something that's a little bit more important than even that. And do you know what that is, John? Here, John, in Ohio, we talked about this week. We had those elections on issue one. Now, John, let me ask you something. When you have an election here in the state of Ohio, first of all, there's just over 3 million something registered voters in Ohio. So, John, when you have just over 3 million registered voters in Ohio, and then you find out that over 4 million people voted,
maybe there was a resurrection test, Ernie, that took place in Ohio, and they voted.
Well, we do know here that you had well over, there was around 140-something people that voted in Ohio, John, that were older than the oldest living human beings on planet Earth today. But we had over 140 of those people right here in Ohio alone. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the water is very good in Ohio, Pastor Ernie. They keeps them alive.
Absolutely. Okay. And then you have, I mean, this is just unbelievable, the corruption here you have now.
Right. Pastor Ernie, that's the same thing. What you're saying is exactly what happened in Georgia against Trump.
And then I know.
County, he lost the state by 14,000 votes. And in one county, they had, just like you're saying, they had the elderly vote. They had kids like 14 years old vote. They had criminals vote. They had people living out of state, registered out of state voting. The list goes on and on. And I think it was 20,000 or more in that one county in Georgia was all illegal voting, which would have won Georgia, and I think that would have let him win the election also.
Yeah, but it's over 900 people registered at the same house. That had to be a huge place, John, a huge house. And so how many live in the White House?
Too many.
Yeah. Anyhow, now here, listen to this,
hey,
folks.
Pastor Ernie, did you hear about the new stamp the post office put out?
No, uh-uh.
It's got Biden's picture on it, and it says no sense.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let me finish my commercial, or not my thing here, because this is very, very, very important, folks. Now, here's a chance for you to get back at the corrupt, these absolutely, completely, and totally corrupt people in this state of Ohio that had amended the Constitution for sin. And you had the ACLU, the Antichrist Liars Union, a completely filthy, corrupt organization, absolutely corrupted to the core. No, nothing, no decency at all with the ACLU, not a bit of decency, just completely and totally corrupted, okay? And so, anyhow, they're the ones that were behind and pushing that. But now you've got to check, you can beat them. Here's how you can beat them. Get yourself a pen and paper. This is very important that you do this, because the heartbeat bill is coming back up for a vote, and they want to stop the heartbeat bill because they love dead babies. They're evil. They're ungodly. They're evil to the core, to the very core. Now, you say, well, why aren't more pastors preaching that? Well, they believe it, but most of them don't have the courage. Just a very few of us have the courage that really believe to do it, to stand out and to preach out against it the way you should. Now, here's what's happening. We're going to bring the heartbeat bill back up for a vote. Heartbeat HB 258. This is going to be scheduled for a floor vote again this November 15th, Thursday, November 15th. So we have from here to there, from now to then, folks, to get these people, these legislators, remember, they, you have to put the pressure on them. You have to let them know more than the opposition can bribe them. You got to put the fear to these people. You know, see, here's something that a lot of people don't know, Joe. See, they, those state legislators, they work for us. They're supposed to do the right thing. Joe, did you know that? Not Joe, John.
John.
Yeah.
Well, in theory, Pastor Ernie, but they work for themselves. They work for extortion, bribes, political favors. So it's just they get elected. They'll say anything to get elected.
Yeah, but they can count, can't they? I mean, if they get 400 or 500 phone calls, they can count that, right?
Yeah, and so, probably if there is no, if they don't owe anyone favors, yeah.
All righty.
It's so corrupt.
Well, here's what you have to do, folks. I'm going to give you some names, and from now until all the way to November, we need to continue on this, okay? You need to continue and call them. And I don't care if people from all over the country, whatever state calls them, and just let them know that you're very well aware. Their office needs to hear about killing babies is an evil, wicked, ungodly thing, okay? And people that kill babies will burn in hell. That's a reality. That's what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. Now, here, call right now. Call day or night and leave a message. And you can do it. And I'm going to give you 9 representatives. These are the key state reps that you need to call. And just tell them to vote yes, vote yes. Encourage them to pass the pro-life heartbeat bill, okay? Now, I'm going to start and very slowly. I might not give them all tonight, but I will give you maybe 3 of them. And we'll start with these 3. They got to start hearing from you, okay? Rick Carfagna. Rick Carfagna. Now, that last name is Carfagna. Rick Carfagna. Now, he's with Delaware and Knox Counties. And here's his number, Rick Carfagna. Folks, listen, you need to do it. Just place yourself as you are one of these unborn babies that's about to be decapitated. You can make a difference. You need to call and let them know without, you know, that they need to support this. 614-466-1431. 614-466-1431. Be nice and polite. Just say, look, you got to do the right thing. Do the right thing and vote to pass that bill. And we're tired, you know, the corrupt system, what they did here in Ohio. Just unbelievable how corrupt the voting was. Just unbelievable how corrupt it was.
Isn't the big money coming from out of state, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. California, the corrupt states. And New York. California, New York, New Jersey. What's that tell you? Okay. Here's the next one. Bob Cupp, C-U-P-P. Bob Cupp, C-U-P-P. He's out there in Lima in Allen County. Now, here's Bob Cupp's number. 614-466-9624. 614-466-9624. The next one is Jonathan Deaver. Jonathan Deaver. He's in Hamilton County. That's Jonathan Deaver. 614-466-8120. 614-466-8120. The next one. Now think about this, John. What a wonderful thing to do in the week. And even tomorrow, on Saturday, you can call and leave a message. Because Christ died to give us life and more abundantly. And what better time than the Resurrection Sunday or during that weekend? Here's the next one. Teresa Gavarone. Teresa Gavarone. Teresa, G-A-V-A-R-O-N-E. Gavarone. That's Gavarone, Gavarone. And that's in Green and Wood counties. 614-466-8104. 614-466-8104. You folks out there that are real Christians, for the real Christians, you have a pen and paper, just think about these babies. Do this. Just be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own soul. Don't be one of those apathetic, pathetic, lukewarm that fill the pews, that sit there and they'll sing songs, but they don't ever do anything. It's symbolism over substance. Get real. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. If you don't have the courage, and if you don't have a zeal to do this, think about it. Are you really saved at all? Annie Gonzalez. Annie Gonzalez. That's Annie Gonzalez. She's in Franklin County, which is Columbus area, John. Her number is 614-466-4847. 614-466-4847. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and give it all. It's very important that we do these. We do all of these. Dave Greenspan. Dave Greenspan. G-R-E-E-N-S-P-A-N. Now he's in Cuyahoga County. Dave Greenspan. In Cuyahoga County, it's hard to get elected as a Republican, you know, believe me. Dave Greenspan. They need to hear from you. 614-466-0961. That's 614-466-0961. If you're tired of them stepping on your face, and that's what they do, the corrupt, the completely and totally corrupt Democrats and rhinos out there, if you're tired of them stepping on your face, folks, stand up and fight. Fight like men, okay? And the next one is Jim Hughes. Jim Hughes in Franklin County. Jim Hughes in Franklin County. 614-466-8012. Jim Hughes in Franklin County. 614-466-8012. 8012. Now, only two more left. Scott Ryan in Licking County. Scott Ryan in Licking County. 614-466-1482. 614-466-1482. And then the last one is Bill Seitz. Bill Seitz. And he's in the Cincinnati-Hamilton County. Okay, Bill Seitz. It's S-E-I-T-Z. The last word is S-E-I-T-Z. 614-466-8258. 614-466-8258. Now, all of this comes from, this information was sent to me from Ohio Value Voters. Ohio Value Voters are really, really good, decent people out there. They're friends of mine, Diane and John. And so, folks, again, we're working together. We can do it. They're pushing this. We're pushing it. Enough of us call. We can let them know, look, here's, you know, this way, your vote. This is one time they can't get us with the voter election fraud, with a vote, with a corrupt voting out there, the corrupt ballots, and all the things that the Democrats do that are so very corrupt. You can pressure these people to make them do what you elected them to do the right thing. And you'll do it. You'll do it if you're a righteous person. You'll stand up and you'll fight. And you won't cow down anymore. You'll be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. You need to do that. Now is the time. Now is the time to stand and fight. Alrighty. With that, John, hey, did you know, John McTernan, that most believe, still, most believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrection poll, according to Mary Ellen Cosgray from the Daily Signal. 70% of registered voters believe that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead, and more than 70% plan to celebrate Resurrection Sunday this year, the new polls find. Now, John, listen to this. Here's something that I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you this. Okay? At some point, every single person that has ever lived and ever died believes right now that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Right? I mean, there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everybody in heaven and hell today believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So all these folks out there that are listening tonight and all those skeptics out there, you know, and I tell them, look, I'll tell you this. There's absolutely no chance that you're not going to be a believer. You will become a believer. There's no chance. No chance at all that that won't happen. Boy, they don't like that. You know, the left, the unsaved, the heathen, they hate absolutes, don't they?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think of the scripture there in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's talking about those under the earth and all of that. Everyone is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Absolutely. All righty, here it says that the Scott Rasmussen National Poll conducted on March 20th through the 21st amongst registered voters found that 73% of respondents will celebrate Resurrection Sunday this year. When asked whether they would celebrate the holiday primarily as a religious holiday or as a secular holiday, 56% of the participants responded with religious, 16% said secular, and 27% said both, secular and religious, equally. So, there you go. The poll reflected voters believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead by a margin of 68% to 13%. Like I said, they're all going to believe. It'll be 100%, won't it, John?
How can you not, Pastor Ernie? I mean, heaven and hell is real. Hell isn't just a, what would you call it? There's words for it that it's not real. It's just a state of mind or something like that. It's real. I mean, there's no, Jesus, he made reference to Lazarus and the rich man, and the rich man in hell. And the man said, I am in torments here. So there's no doubt. Oh, and when we look in Revelation 19, when the Lord returns, it says the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are going to be thrown bodily into hell.
Yeah. And that's where the left is going to be. He tells you in Matthew chapter 25 that those on the left will be bound and cast into the lake of fire, does he not?
Right, prepared for Satan and his angels.
So that's where the ACLU and the Democratic Party is going to end up, in a burning lake of fire, are they not?
They unless they really truly repent and turn to Jesus Christ as their Savior, yes, they'll be in there right in the depths of it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we got a couple things very quickly coming up. Here's a real fast article here, John, and that is this, that this is our world now. Trans man, here's this biological male who thinks he's a female, John, and he wins this woman's weightlifting title. Now, you ought to see the closest female to him is about half his size. And now they don't have to pretend or play anymore. Vicky, they called himself this Sicky Vicky Pfeiffer, 57-year-old, really sicko, a real sicko, won the 2024 USAW Masters National Weightlifting this week. thinking he's a woman. And now, let me tell you this. Not only is this man a fool for thinking he's a woman, but those people that gave him the award, I'll guarantee you, they were all fools. If
well,
this
who was the bigger fool? The man that, quote, thinks he's a woman, or those that go along with him? So who's the bigger fool, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I know. There you go. This is amazing, isn't it? I mean,
well, now that you mention that, it just came out where some 50-year-old grandfather became transgendered and took hormones, and he's breastfeeding his granddaughter now.
Oh, God. Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. Okay. Oh, boy.
And there's a picture of him doing it, and he's got tattoos on his chest.
Oh. It's just unbelievable what's happening in this world today. And I'm so...
The days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Yeah, but they weren't doing that kind of stuff in the days of Noah. You didn't have, far as I know, they didn't have no trans things there, did they?
Yeah, well, they had the women were cohabitating with the fallen angels. And they were created the Nephilim, the giants.
Yeah, they were changing their DNA, but those things didn't, you know, they didn't think they were women. I mean, you know, I mean, it's even worse now than it was then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how many Democrats do you think to think they're women that are not?
Who knows, Pastor Ernie? Hey, what does the Bible say? If you go along with it, you get the same judgment.
Yeah.
You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, those who approve of what the reprobates do get the same judgment as a reprobate. So
because it says those that like Barack Obama, because Obama said, you know, personally he would never, but in other words, and you know who else did that was Jimmy Carter. And so boy, I'm gonna tell you, when it came to, remember when Jimmy Carter said that abortion is murder, the Bible says it's the killing an innocent life, but his constituents elected him to keep abortion legal, and he was going to do that. In other words, Jimmy Carter, who claimed to be a born-again Christian, said, well, he's going to obey man and not God, huh?
He's a politician, Mr. Ernie.
Yeah. Hang on. We're going to be back right after this with a whole lot more. We're going to find out about P. Diddley or whatever. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.